our regular board meeting, like to call it to order at 7. Can we please stand and have Director Gouteau lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Has roll call been taken?
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present. President Graves is joining telephonically, and Director Graham is also joining telephonically.
Thank you. This is the time in our meeting where we offer up for public comment. Please note it's a 3-minute time limit, and we are here listening but are not able to respond.
Hey, Regina, we can't hear anything.
No, Jalen.
Now I can.
Yes, we're good.
Okay, do I need to repeat that?
Oh, well, actually what I can hear is you. I'm texting her right now.
Okay, just...
Sorry, I have a couple technical difficulties. Okay. Again, this is a time in our meeting where we offer up for public comment. Please, sir, welcome. Come to the podium. It's a 3-minute time limit. No, we are definitely listening, but are not able to respond.
Okay, I'm Terry Mahaney. I live on the Schedule Bay Boulevard. And I've been hearing some kind of scuttlebutt around that this property over here on the corner is in the process of being sold for development. And I know the last time this topic got brought up, somebody was able to answer that question. And I mean, I understand what the rules are, you guys aren't supposed to, but you know, maybe if somebody could either reach out to me or let me know where I can find out if in fact this is gonna be something in the works right now. You know, I'd like to know, and I think the residents in Discovery Bay would, because I kind of got a feeling what it's going to be. You know, it's not going to be your homes and stuff. It's going to be like condos, apartments, and stuff like that, which I'm not a big fan of. Second thing is, I called the main office over here probably 3 weeks ago, and I said that there's some tagging on this wall out there facing Discovery Bay. Highway 4, and it's between Discovery Bay Boulevard and where that homeless guy burned himself up at. And so far, when I left this morning, it's still there. And you guys know that tagging doesn't get any better. And if it doesn't get painted over right away, somebody's going to tag over the top of it, and then you're going to have a whole wall full of all that stuff. So. That's my second thing. Do you guys plan on getting the CHP and the sheriff here? You gonna throw out the invitation to them?
They're on the call tonight, I think, or they have reports on.
Yeah, they do, but I mean, I like to come down here and talk to them because I can't get anywhere when I call the main office. I don't get any satisfaction out of them. I just want to get face to face with them. So
yeah,
I just kind of wondering if you guys plan on, you know, saying, hey, you know, we're in person again. So
yeah, thank you for your comments. I would recommend reaching out to General Manager Bernstein. She can get you in contact with the right people for each of your issues that you discuss. Mm-hmm. Director Bernstein, General Manager Bernstein. Sorry, okay. Director General Manager.
Where would I get a hold of you? Do I go over to the?
Give you my card.
Oh, okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Are there any other people online or any other public comments?
I do not see any hands up.
Okay. We are going to go ahead and close public comments. We're going to move to the next agenda item, which is the consent calendar. We can take a moment for everyone on the board to look at what's on the consent calendar and see if there's any comments. Or questions? President Graves, Director Graham, do you have any questions or anything on the consent calendar?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay.
No.
Public comments for the consent calendar?
I do not see any hands up.
Okay. So there's a motion and a second. Can we take a roll call vote, please?
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Guteau?
Aye.
Vice President Porter?
Aye.
President Graves?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, motion carries. Move to the next agenda item, which is area agencies and liaison reports. Looks like the first one that we have is from Supervisor Diane Burgess's office. Don Morrow is a new representative. Are you on the line, Don?
She is.
There I am. There.
Wonderful.
There
we can
go.
Hear
Hi.
You. Welcome.
On, and I'm going to be representing Discovery Bay now that Leah has decided to retire to Texas. So I just wanted to say hello and give you a little bit of a report from District 3. We have a COVID update. The state health officials announced Monday that they'll be lifting masking requirements at K-12 schools and childcare settings after March 11th. Masks are still recommended, but they're not mandated. The state health officials also announced that unvaccinated people will no longer be required to mask in indoor public settings, and masks must still be worn in high-risk settings such as healthcare facilities, nursing homes, and congregate care and public transportation. And the other thing I just want to give you is that there you can find county commission openings and other news in our Supervisors Weekly newsletter. And you can sign up by texting the word Burgis, B-U-R-G-I-S, to the number 22828. And that's all I have for you.
Wonderful. Thank you. So we'll move on to the next area report, which is the Sheriff's Officer's Report. Is there anyone on the line from the Sheriff's Department?
Yes, can you guys hear me okay?
Wonderful. Good evening, Lieutenant Johnson. How are you?
Good evening. Sorry, my camera's not working too well. I'm kind of new with all this stuff. Mark Johnson, Lieutenant of the Sheriff's Office. I don't have my normal stats tonight. The folks that put that together actually all retired this week. So I had to hurry up. I just found out today, so I had to hurry up and put something together real quick. But in talking with our detective that's assigned to East County, the biggest issue we're having and that I see are property crimes. And that's thefts from vehicles, thefts from garages, that sort of thing. So we had two garage thefts where the garages were left open and bikes were taken. I think a golf cart was taken. And then we had one petty theft from a vehicle where the vehicle was left unlocked and some valuable stuff was left inside. I think if most people lock their doors and close their garage doors, we wouldn't have much crime out here right now. The other biggest thing that we see is the catalytic converter thefts, and we average probably two or three a month out around the Discovery Bay area. Again, in talking with our detective, it caught a few folks, not necessarily in this area, but they're finding it's hard for the district attorney to file charges on the suspects because it's so hard to prove. But we're still trying to catch these guys. We're still using our license plate reader cameras to see if we can get some leads and some suspects on that. We have really focused on the Sandy Cove Shopping Center regarding the shoplifting and the thefts that are occurring out of there. Probably for the past month, we've put a car behind CVS and Safeway and actually let them know when we're back there. That way they call us directly. So instead of going through dispatch and the time it takes for dispatch to get us out there, we're behind the store. And that's been successful. We actually caught somebody today. They were from Brentwood, came out. They were working together. They had walkie-talkies to let the person know inside if the cops were outside. What they didn't know was I was around the area driving an unmarked car. So they started this not knowing that I was in the parking lot driving through. And as they came out, I was able to catch them as they were trying to leave in their vehicle. So they were taken to jail, both on theft as well as they had some drugs in the car. A couple of other things that we had two different warrant arrests resulting from traffic stops. We had a couple of random vandalisms. We had one arrest for child abuse. We had one arrest for restraining order violation. Let's see, we had a couple of domestic battery incidents. We had one commercial burglary over at La Taqueria over in the Sandy Cove Shopping Center. And in the middle of the night, they were able to force entry through the back door and steal some items from there. Our detectives are working on that, and they're using our cameras to see if they can find a suspect vehicle in that time. We had one assault with a deadly weapon, and that was a fight among two roommates. We had one DUI arrest. And then one interesting case is at the ATM, at the Wells Fargo ATM next to the Safeway. There was $1,000 left in the ATM. And somebody actually found that and turned it into us, and we were able to find the owner and give it back to him. So there are some good people out here, which is fantastic. But like I said, other than that, it's the property crimes that we're seeing. And, you know, it's there's not a rash of crimes. It's just one or two a month, but it adds up over time. So that's what we're working on. Other than that, I'm looping for any questions.
Any questions, Lieutenant Johnson?
Yeah, this is Director Graham. Hopefully y'all can hear me. I'm seeing more and more, I'm sure everyone is, young kids driving golf carts on the town streets. What can be done about that?
Yeah, so I think that's been the issue for a couple months. I know CHP has been focusing on that. I'm not sure if they're on the call. They might be able to talk to it. But my deputies know that if they see a golf cart being driven on the road, it's basically a vehicle. So you have to follow the rules of the road. You have to have a driver's license, all that sort of thing. If you're on private property, that's different. You can drive it all you want. So they know if they see that, especially, you know, on the boulevard there or some of these main side streets, they're supposed to pull them over if it's juveniles and have the parents come pick them up if we see that. And if you see that, you can call us and we'll respond out there as well. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Lieutenant Johnson? Okay. We're going to move on to CHP report. Someone from CHP on?
Officer Thomas. It would be
Donnie Thomas?
No. Okay. Doesn't look like we have anyone from CHP, so then we will move on to the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District. Fire Marshal Steve. It looks like he is on.
Good evening, everybody. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you.
All right. So for the month of February, we had a total of 74 calls for the month, the average response time of 9 minutes and 55 seconds. No really major incidents for the month of February. We did have 676 service calls with the average response time of 8 minutes and 38 seconds. With 6 residential structure fires, 2 commercial structure fires, 8 vehicle fires, 2 vegetation fires already, which is the scary part, and 24 exterior fires. District also responded to 20 vehicle accidents with an additional 1 requiring rescue. And then we also had 4 vehicles versus pedestrian accidents and 4 motorcycle accidents and 3 bicycle accidents. For a recap of all of last year for 2021, the district ran a total of 8,481 calls, which was an increase from the previous year by 11%. And then for the calendar year 2021, there was also a total of 728 calls for service just in the Discovery Bay area alone. A couple big updates as far as the district goes. There's the LACO meeting that is going to be held on the 9th of March here at 1:30 in the afternoon. Urge anybody who's interested in watching that, the LACO Commission will be taking a vote on the final annexation topic for Contra Costa County Fire Protection District and us to annex into each other. And then we encourage everybody to attend our board meeting, which will be held later on that same evening at 6:30, and you can watch both those two online. Other big news right around the corner is we are fast approaching wildland season. We're already seeing some major wildfires even down in Southern California as we speak. We are looking at, with the weather and the lack of rain, probably keeping the same timeline that we did last year. So notices will most likely be sent out early April, with the May 15th deadline for them to be in compliance so we can get a good head start before all that fuel moisture, evaporates out of all the fuels around the district there. And that concludes my report and available for any questions.
Thank you. So anybody have any questions for Fire Marshal Steve? Thank you so much for the time for everyone on the agency reports. We are going to move on to the agenda item E, presentations. It's capacity and connection fee. We have Allison Leshowitz. I'm sorry if I butchered your last name. That is going to be doing the presentation. This is something this evening that she's going to be presenting, and then it's going to be coming to the board for approval on our April 20th meeting. Allison, let us know when you're ready.
I'm ready now.
Okay, perfect. The floor is yours.
Okay. So I have a PowerPoint presentation prepared. I'm not sure if I can control the screen or if someone there in the boardroom can help control.
Yeah, we have someone here that
advancing the slides.
That is going to be controlling it. So just let us know when you need to switch the slides, and we can take care of that for you.
Okay.
Can you see the presentation?
Sadly, no.
Okay.
I'm able to see the dais there, but not the presentation itself.
Presentation. Okay. Okay. We have it on the first one. That's the introductory slide.
Okay. So tonight I have about a 15-minute presentation summarizing the water and wastewater capacity fee update. So we'll go to slide number 2. So capacity fees are one-time fees paid by new development, typically at the time the permit is issued, and they're intended to recover the cost of expanding and upgrading facilities to serve those new connections, new development. And they do not fund operations or maintenance that benefits existing customers. So this does not apply to anyone who already lives in Discovery Bay. It would be only new developers coming in and issuing permits. The last study was performed in 2014, so it's very, very timely for an update. And the reason the update is needed is there are new capital improvement projects, so the facilities needed to serve growth have been updated. The town has also completed a wastewater master plan, and very significantly, the denitrification project for the sewer system now has actual contractor bids. So that's very good information to include in the study update. We also looked at water flows and sewer demands and found that due to conservation and drought conditions, water use has declined, as well as corresponding sewer flows, and that impacts the capacity used by development into the future. And the other thing to note is when I did this in 2014, there were a number of outstanding developer agreements with in-lieu facilities and prepaid fees, things like that, and those have all been expended. So that simplified the process a bit. So we'll go to slide 3. We looked at different methodologies based on facilities and expected growth in Discovery Bay. We looked at a buy-in method, an average cost method, and an expansion method. And these were methods that we used in the prior study. These are industry standard methods. And the short version is we included a buy-in fee. So that is for facilities that are already existing but have the capacity to continue to serve new connections through build out. So they should pay their fair share of the facilities already built. The average cost method means that there are capital improvements that will benefit everyone, existing customers, and growth through the build out horizon. And that was the majority of both fees, the water and the sewer fee, was from the average cost approach. And then there were a few projects that were applicable to the expansion method. And so those are projects solely benefiting growth, like triggered by new development that the town would not need if there was no growth. So we'll go ahead and go to slide 4. So as I mentioned, we looked at water demand and sewer flows. These were determined by the town's water and sewer engineers. I'm the finance person and economist, but they were the ones to do the sewer flows and water demands. And we did see that there was a drop off in typical water use for the average single family home. from about 500 gallons per day to about 400 gallons per day. And likewise, wastewater flows also dropped to about 100 gallons a day from 300 35 gallons per day to about 235 gallons per day. And so that's due to drought conditions as well as new development using more efficient plumbing fixtures. And I just wanted to note that these estimates are for single family homes, and we call them the equivalent dwelling unit, EDU. And so different types of development, so non-residential development or maybe multifamily development, their fees would be scaled to the flows of the typical home shown here. So like a duplex is assumed to use about 800 gallons of water per day, whereas a single family home, one unit home, would be 400. So we'll go to slide 5. And we looked at a build out horizon of 20 years, so through 2041 approximately. We looked at the equivalent homes currently existing and the development projections over the next 20 years. And for both water and sewer, it looked like new growth would add about 20% of the homes expected through 2041. And there is a difference in equivalent dwelling units for water and sewer, and that is because water has irrigation usage as well. There were some homeowners associations and things that would probably be some pond filling and lake filling and irrigation accounts. So that's a slight difference between water and sewer.
Can I stop and ask a question real quick? Excellent questions for our engineer. Aaron, how do we get a wastewater reduction? Is sprinkler runoff considered wastewater?
Well, I believe what you're seeing there, the reason why we have less water in our wastewater, is I contribute that a lot to the drought regulations and the meters being installed, so people are just using less water. So now you're just getting more solids and that waste coming to us versus having that much water.
Well, I could see how a sprinkler runoff would be reduced, but at the end of the day, the toilet's going to flush the same amount of water. The dishwasher's going to excrete the same amount of...
Right, but I think you're going to be more conscientious of the showers you take and how much water you use in those areas.
So. I was just curious. I wasn't sure if there was a specific thing that you were being referenced or.
Yeah, we kind of just look at the drought. I mean, it stopped a lot of water coming to the wastewater as it did before. So.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, so why don't we move to slide 6. So as I mentioned, for both water and sewer, we included a buy-in portion of the fee. And so what we did was look at the fixed asset list for both the water and wastewater enterprises and looked at the facilities that are currently in the ground providing service and identified those that still have capacity to provide service to new customers into the future. And then did an economic calculation accounting for depreciation and the condition of facilities to calculate a total valuation for both. And then that's divided by the build out horizon through 2041. We can go to slide 7. As a second part of the fee, we looked at the capital improvement plans for both water and sewer. So these are upcoming capital expenditures. And we did an allocation and working with the town's engineers to determine, you know, what facilities benefit growth and what facilities benefit existing customers. And so the portion benefiting growth is shown here and then divided by the growth portion of new EDUs through build out. So the main cost of the water facility shown there are well upgrades, filter replacements for the treatment plants, and water main replacements. And then for wastewater, the main cost of facilities are lift stations and plant 2 upgrades. And then in addition, if we go to the next slide, slide 8, sewer had the big project, the denitrification project. And as I mentioned, we now have a contractor bid. And the one benefit of connection fees or capacity fees is that the town can charge interest and financing costs associated with the facilities it's going to build. And so the town provided some debt service estimates, and the portion serving growth was then divided by the number of equivalent dwelling units of growth over the next 20 years to calculate a denitrification fee. So we can go to slide 9. So slide 9 just summarizes the water capacity fee. So as I mentioned, there is a buy-in portion of the fee for existing facilities, and then there's also a fee for new projects that the water engineer has identified. So the total water capacity fee is proposed to be $5,048 per equivalent dwelling unit. So other types of development, non-residential or multifamily, would have their fees scaled to the expected water demand of the typical single family dwelling. And we'll go to slide 10. So the wastewater fee is the same story. We have the buy-in fee for existing facilities, the new facility fee for capital improvements, and then the denitrification fee as well. So the total proposed fee is $12,804. Go to slide 11 to just summarize. So this shows the existing fees and the proposed fees, and both water and sewer are proposed to have slight increases based on updated capital improvement plans and based on updated development projections over the next 20 years. And again, the fees here are for single family dwelling units. And just to wrap up, going to slide 12, we did a survey of comparable agencies, what they charge for typical water and wastewater capacity fees. Water is blue, wastewater is red, and Discovery Bay is in the mid-range of other agencies in your area. And even with the proposed change, the ranking didn't shift. Discovery Bay continues to be in the middle of the fees that we and the agencies that we surveyed. And so we can go to slide 13. And so that's what I have tonight. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the board? Director Graham, President Graves, Director Callahan, Director Gouteau?
None from me.
No questions?
No, I'll just say the finance department had the same presentation at our last meeting, and it seems to be the same from what was presented.
Water, wastewater did as well. So, is there any public comment?
None at this time.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Allison, for doing the presentation again for us. Our first time for the board, but third time for water finance. Committees. This will be coming to the board again April 20th for board approval. Okay, now we're moving to the time in our meeting for business and action items. We are going to go to F1, where we discuss possible action regarding approval of second amended and restated memorandum of understanding with 7 other GSAs for implementation of groundwater sustainability. Assistant Manager Mike Davies.
Yes, I know that's a mouthful.
It was a mouthful. Thank you. I even missed a part of it, so...
You have the staff report, and you have attached to that the MOU that we're asking the board to approve and authorize the general manager to sign on to. Briefly stated, as you've been kept informed right along, back in 2015, SGMA, the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, requested that groundwater sustainable agencies be formed and produce a groundwater sustainable plan. The Act also allowed for agencies that share in a groundwater basin to join together by MOU or some type of joint powers agreement to combine resources and enter into a cooperative agreement where they could share in the cost and share in the development of the plan. This was done. We formed a groundwater sustainable agency with seven other agencies that share in what later became the East Contra Costa County Basin that we overlay. And the first amended MOU that we entered into with them provided for a sharing of costs in the development of the groundwater sustainability plan. This plan was, draft plan was brought to the attention of this board, which approved it along with all the other groundwater sustainable agencies. And that plan has now been submitted to Department of Water Resources and is under review for their approval of our groundwater sustainability plan. So in anticipation that our groundwater sustainability plan will be approved by DWR, we now have to implement the plan, and we want to do so in cooperation and with shared costs with our partner, other seven agencies that we're partnering with. This cost sharing is a significant advantage to lowering our independent costs in the implementation of the plan. So what we're looking for tonight is for the board to authorize the general manager to execute and carry out the terms of the second amended and restated memorandum of understanding for the implementation of a groundwater sustainability plan along with the seven other agencies that we're partnering with.
Okay.
And I'm able to take non-complex questions.
So we'll bring it back to the board. Does anybody have any questions for Assistant Manager Davies regarding this? I know we've seen some of this, yes. Most of this, yes. Director Graham, Director Graves, President Graves? Is he still on?
He's on mute, but he's still on.
Okay.
No questions from Carolyn Graham.
Okay, perfect. So I'm going to open it up to public comment. Is there any public comment?
Kevin is saying
what is Kevin? Sorry, give us 1 second, President Graves. Go ahead.
Somebody muted me there.
You're unmuted now.
Okay. So I just wanted to acknowledge the hard work that's been put into this by Assistant Manager Davies and thank him for all his hard work and diligence working with all those agencies to put together this program as it benefits us tremendously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any public comment?
Okay. Not at this time, no.
So now we're going to move to a motion. If we can get a motion to approve staff's recommendations.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Can we do a roll call vote, please?
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Guteau?
Aye.
Vice President Porter?
Aye.
President Graves?
Aye.
Perfect. Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you for your hard work. Okay. Now we're moving on to F2, discussion of possible action to approve notice of completion and final payment for the swimming pool remodel of Community Center. Bill, this is exciting.
The swimming pool, pool part of the swimming pool construction is now complete. No outstanding punch list items. All final inspections are complete and passed. It came in on budget. And we're recommending to that the notice of completion be approved and any remaining payments and retention be remitted to Adams Pool Solutions.
Okay.
So Adams wants to get paid.
Yes, they do. I'm sure. Are there any questions from the board for Bill? General Manager Dina, would you mind explaining kind of the process once this has been approved? Because it still needs to go through quite a bit. It's not like we're just going to write a check to Adams at this point, if you wouldn't mind, just so everyone's kind of cognizant of what that is.
Sure. Once the project is complete, we bring it to the board to let you know about that it's complete. There are no punch items. And then we ask for approval of the notice of completion. Once you have your approval of notice of completion, we send it to the county for them to file. When they put their stamp on it, they send it back to us, and then we can release the retention payment. So that's how that works.
And that typically takes about how much?
It takes a while. It can take a little over a month.
Okay.
So, you know, it depends on how fast the county turns it around to us, and then it's 35 days from when we receive it from the county to release the retention.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, any public comment?
There are no public comments at this time.
Perfect. We can get a motion.
I'll motion that we release the funds.
I'll second.
Okay. Roll call vote, please. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Andy.
Before we do the motion on that, I think the motion or the request from staff was to do this notice of completion mm-hmm. and to authorize the release of retention upon the as director or as general man. I'm sorry. This thing's not. It's echoing, so I apologize. And to release the funds once we get the authorization from the county. So
I revise my motion to. Thank you. Echo what you just said.
Perfect. Do we need another second on that now, or are we good
if
with
the second?
I will second the
thank you.
The revised motion.
Thank you. Okay, roll call vote.
Director Graham.
Aye.
Director Callahan.
Aye.
Director Guteau.
Aye.
Vice President Porter.
Aye.
President Graves.
Aye.
Yay, motion carries. This is exciting. Thank you, Bill, for presenting it. I know Monica's not here tonight, but I think as a board, this is like a really awesome thing for us to be done and completed. Excited to see people use it. So, yay, good job, everyone. Okay, now we're moving on to the next one, which is also you, Bill. 2022 Parks and Rec Public Event Calendar.
Yes, we brought this to the Parks and Rec Committee. So each year, the Parks and Recreation Department produces a calendar of public events that will be taking place at the Community Center of Town Parks. Attached, you'll find this year's event calendar. Although the past 2 years have seen a steep decline in activities for obvious reasons, we feel we're getting back on track. This will be our ninth year of programming. So staff recommends the approval of the 2022 public event calendar.
Any questions from the board? President Graves, Director Graham?
No, thank you.
Okay. Any public comment regarding the calendar?
There are no public comments at this time.
Wonderful. Can I get a motion to approve the 2022 public calendar?
I'll make a motion to approve the 2022 calendar.
Thank you.
And I will second the motion.
Wonderful. Thank you again. Roll call vote, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Guteau?
Aye.
Vice President Porter?
Aye.
President Graves?
Aye.
Wonderful. Motion carries. That's exciting. We're getting back into normal things. And you're up again for approval of Park and Rec 2022 program activities.
Each year, staff waives usage fees for groups we have a long history with and who provide public interest benefit to our residents. The following events are being waived by the general manager. Boy Scouts of America Troop 514, Contra Costa Library Program for Kids, Resisting Aggression Defensively, the annual Easter Egg Hunt, and the Holiday Parade. So staff is recommending acceptance of the above 2022 programs, activities, and event fee waivers by the general manager for a total amount of $1,997.50.
So just a quick question. This is part of our, as a town, kind of working together with our community and giving back in a way. And these are the things that we're looking at that we show that we're not just waiving the fees, but it's working with the, in the community and doing some for various different community
activities. Yeah, for instance, the Boy Scouts activities. Do a in-kind service at the community center for this fee waiver and such.
Okay, perfect. So we'll bring it back to the board. Does anybody have any questions about the various events that are getting fees waived? You guys are quiet tonight.
Yes. Now, this is Director Graham. I do have one question. And this is probably more for Dina. If something comes up during the year and another well-known group requests to be able to use the community center area at no charge, if, like I said, if they are, you know, well-known in a community service organization, would we consider it, or once this is done, it's done?
Once the staff report, the items on the staff report, when that's done, it's done. But other, if there are other items that come across the table and they want to have their fee waived, I would bring that back to the board at that time.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the board? Okay, I'm going to open it up for public comment.
There are no public comments at this time.
Perfect, we'll bring it back to the board for a motion.
I'll motion to approve the Parks and Rec 2022 program activity and event fee waivers.
And a second.
And I will second it.
Wonderful. Roll call vote, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Buteau?
Aye.
Vice President Porter?
Aye.
President Graves?
Aye.
Wonderful. Motion carries. Thank you, Bill. Okay, so we are, looks like there are no manager's report, but there is general manager's report.
Yes, so I have a couple of exciting things to tell you. I went to my first chamber meeting last week, and that was fabulous. And I plan to someday host one here at the community center, so that'll be coming back to the board at a later date. I also was inducted to be a Lion last night, so I joined the Lions Club in Discovery Bay, so that is another role that I'm taking on. And then I just wanted to let you know that one of our managers here, their daughter last week, just got her PhD. And that was Monica's daughter, and it's in, please help me here, gerontology, and that is the study of the process of aging. So she is very young. I think she's only 28, and she got her PhD from USC.
That's amazing.
So we're really proud of her.
Fabulous.
That's my report.
Thank you. That's exciting. That's exciting stuff. Any questions or comments for General Manager Steve?
No, but you should have seen her receive her certificate last night. She was very admirable. Got up in front of the group and
yes.
Said she loves the summer jam and she can't wait for the concerts.
So excited to serve beer.
Yes.
Wonderful.
I'd like to have Monica's daughter get a hold of me and talk to me about aging.
I know, we all need.
I don't know if I want to know about it, though, right? Yeah. Like, can we do a Benjamin Button thing where it goes backwards? Thank you. So now we're going to move to agenda item I, director's reports. Someone from Communications Committee meeting want to report back?
It's a pretty light meeting. Go ahead, Carolyn, if
you'd
like.
I'll let you guys decide.
No. Yeah, please go ahead, Michael. I know Dina has some dates that she talked about.
Yeah, so Dina had mentioned, General Manager mentioned the chamber mixer possibility, and we threw out some dates for that, which will be coming back to the board. And then second was the Meet the GM event, and dates will be coming out for that as well. So that'll be coming to the board in a future meeting.
Exciting. Thank you. Parks and Recreation meeting.
All right. Park and Recs met today, and several of the items was already talked about tonight, but I'll just go over them. Of course, we talked about the event calendar, and very encouraged about all the great things that are coming up here this next year for the community. We discussed raising the swim fees very marginally, so there will be a slight increase in the swim fees. We also discussed the Corndale Park vandalism and how to move forward. There were several options that we looked at, but at this point we opted just to have the staff apply the non-graffiti paint, if you will, and we're going to give that a shot and see how things work out for the next 6 months, and hopefully we don't have any additional issues. If we do, we'll have to revisit. And then lastly, the biggest item that we talked about was the Clipper Drive. As we all know, that's a massive refresh that we've been talking about for several years, and Bill, the landscape manager, came forth with a real nice proposal as far as several options that we're looking at. He's going to come back next month with some more definitive numbers for us, and then that will eventually go to the finance committee if the board decides to implement.
Thank you.
I think that was the gist of the
meeting. That was great. It was a long meeting. It was good, though. A lot of stuff got done. Okay, now water, wastewater. President Graves, do you want to go through that one?
Go ahead, Ashley.
Okay. It was a very quick and short meeting. We got an update on where we were at with various projects. It looks like the pond and the dredge is complete, and everything else is moving forward. Aaron talked a little bit about the piping underneath that marina, and they're working on getting lights on it consistently for what they need to do. But other than that, I think pretty quick and fast. Did I miss anything? Okay, perfect. So any questions, public comment for any of the director's reports?
There are no public comments at this time.
Perfect. Thank you. We're going to move to agenda item J, director's regional meeting reports. It looks like there was one from Director Graham for the Tri-Delta Transit meeting. Director Graham, did you want to say anything about that meeting?
Yeah, you all should have the minutes, and they're buying new buses, a combination of diesel buses and electric, and Jeannie Creek. I'm probably ruining your last name. The general manager for many years is retiring, and so they're going to take the next year searching for a replacement.
Perfect. Thank you. And then it looks like we don't have any correspondence received. We'll move to agenda item L. Is there any future agenda items that you would like to add? No. Okay. Looks like we are done. We will adjourn our meeting at 7:46.